Hello, everybody, and welcome to another Book and a Chat with me, Barry.
Get up in the morning, sag a thing you do, put on the kettle, make a little brew, that'll do you. Tickety-boo. See you, Jimmy, don't you agree? Only one thing better than a nice cup of tea, and that'll be two. Tickety-boo. Blow away the cobwebs and stop yawning. A little cup and sorcery is magic in the morning, or in the afternoon, or in the evening too. Cheer yourself up, pour yourself a cup, tickety-boo.
Good evening, one and all. Yes, it's a Wednesday, isn't it? And halfway through November, I tell you. I mean, everybody's there with their Christmas stuff already, and you can't even walk around. I mean, mid-November, and you can't walk around with their out hearing Christmas songs and carols and stuff like that. But it is what it is. I mean, it's been so mild here in Connecticut, where I am, that... Last week, I guess we finally got like what I called autumnal, even winter weather. And of course, everybody's now going down with coughs and colds and everything like that. But that's it. Anyway, my ex-wife, she lost her son when he was 21, 22, something like that. He was a fireman. He had cancer, and the cancer actually got worse. We didn't know that. He was driving along, and basically he died whilst at the steering wheel. Managed to, even in his death throes, managed to get the car between two trees that he's heading towards with his girlfriend in the car and stuff like that. Now, something like that will live with you forever. She finds it very hard, somebody that young. I mean, children should never pass before their parents. I mean, it's just how it is. But what do you do? How do you get through it? I know she, every sort of anniversary or every date around that time, she can't, you know, she just can't. But what else do you do? What do you do if your child suddenly comes out that they are in that sort of level of, trauma? What? How can your life carry on? Well, my guest today, hopefully, she'll be able to give us a bit of insight into that. Because I better introduce her, hadn't I? Because on the show, that she's laughing in the background. On the show today, I have the one and only Laurel C. Fox. Hi, Laurel. How are you doing?
Hello, Barry. I'm wonderful. How are you?
I am, how can I say, I am fair to middling. I think that's the best thing to say. I have some issues, but don't we all when we get to my age? And I mean, I was talking to somebody earlier on today, and they were talking about age and stuff. I said, look, I knew the Dead Sea when it was only just sick. I'm that old. but then you have to keep going. You have to keep going, and that's all it is. But I, even now, I mean, I can remember when I got the phone call from my ex, and she said, Stephen's has been in an accident, son, and she was screaming and stuff like that. And I live about 30 minutes from her and stuff like that. And I, in fact, I had to go, my now wife was at church doing a concert, and I literally had to go there and say, and sort of get a message to her saying, I've got to go down, to see Stacey because, Stephen's died, et cetera, et cetera. Yeah. And, I got there, and you can't, there's no way a parent or anybody else can understand what a parent goes through. Even now, I can't. I mean, I can guess stuff like that. And in your case, you sort of, have now shared with people in your book basically what you went through in a way. I mean, as I say, I can't comprehend. I can only try and comprehend. But I mean, you know, you are, let's go through you. You're a voiceover, a stage actress, a singer, a substitute teacher, a mother, and everything like that. Yeah, some of those I am as well. But
great, love that.
I cannot.
It's something you can't wrap your head around.
No, yeah. I can't. I just can't. I mean, every time my children are sick or something like that, my grandson who's autistic and stuff like that. I mean, you can't explain to it. You know, the fact I see my grandson shaking his head in yes or no at four, to me, that's something that I find unbelievable because he's autistic. But I can't explain it to other people. And it's the same with you. You know, yours was, your daughter was, what, 14?
Yes, 14, hit by a car. And she didn't pass away. But still, going through any trauma like that, you're so spot on. You just you sink into the earth and you don't know how to go on.
No.
You don't know.
And as a parent, you and your I guess your husband, you're there 24 hours a day. You don't know what to do. You're helpless. I mean, it's such a hard thing to share with people.
Yes, totally. And my story is even, you know, I was a single mom. I was divorced from their father who was involved, but I was alone. I was alone, and I did not know how I was going to
Exactly the same as me. We were divorced, but I was the father. You know, and she was the mother, and it was, you know, it was her son from a previous marriage. But you know, people say this, and you know, they say, "Oh, I'm sorry for you, prayers with you," and stuff like that. There's no way anybody could understand it unless they've been through it.
So true, so true. And I hope what my book gives people who deal with anything hard in life is, there is hope at the end of the dark tunnel, and there is bravery and courage and resilience and strength that we have inside us. Mm. And I didn't think I did.
No,
I did not think I had.
People don't. I mean, you don't know. Was it Melanie? Was it you don't know what you got till it's gone? But you don't know.
Yes.
You don't know how it's going to be. I mean, when you wrote your book, Braving the Way, when you wrote it. Did you find it was a comfort? Was it a healing thing as well?
Absolutely. And I think, you know, if you've read any of it, that I started 10 years ago as a journal. And so that was definitely cathartic and very comforting for me. And I do put some of the journal excerpts in the book, which are very meaningful and important because they're moment by moment, right? Mm. And it really takes you back to being in the scene with me, wherever we were. So, yes, and even 10 years later, finishing the book was amazing to me. It really brought up, grief never goes away, as everyone knows. And I had grief not in death, but in another way. So it never stopped.
I understand that. So my ex, even now, when it comes around to the anniversary or his birthday or stuff like that, and at the same time, or about a month later, a lady who I used to work with, who used to sit basically in a cubicle opposite me, her daughter died in a car crash. Same sort of thing. And the two of them, I mean, I got a message from her. I mean, people, you don't realize, people, how this affects you. I got a message from her this week. The car that she was driving when it crashed, she has finally got... recovered. What do I say? She's finally got it back. She's had it all repaired and replaced and stuff like that. And I can understand that. She wants that as a memory of her daughter. Find this? It just stuff come round to you and you suddenly think, oh my goodness, I remember that and this means so much to me. People just don't understand, I don't think.
Yeah, I mean, for me, it's a little different because Taylor was 14 and now she's 24.
Right.
So what I do mention in the book is looking back on her before that day, I call it in quotes, that day happened. It's hard for me to watch videos of her. It's hard to see her friends.
Yeah.
It's just hard. All of it is hard. Right. And I'm very grateful. I'm so lucky she's alive.
Right. Indeed.
But she is different.
But indeed, but yeah. It's not the, how can I say, it's not the person that you born and you brought up.
That's right. And the person, the 14-year-old I said goodbye to that morning, it is not her. I've had to grieve that girl. And for those of the people that are listening, it was traumatic brain injury, which is a very prevalent injury in this world. And it's serious business. It is very, very serious. And as much as Taylor is still improving, thank goodness, the brain is plastic and that happens, we still deal with things, right? It's a very difficult journey.
Now, in retelling, in your book, what happened and the life and how it affected you and stuff like that, when you did that, was it a healing thing for you, or was it a helping thing for other people?
I think it's been both.
Right.
Definitely healing for my own soul, and actually being able to be vulnerable and sharing it with people, to the point of I was mentoring parents who really couldn't deal.
Right.
So I think it's happened in both ways, honestly, and I hope to continue that whole other journey, helping people be good advocates and helping parents who don't think they have the courage or the bravery or the strength.
Yep.
And I help them find it.
I think that's great. And I think that's, to my mind, that's one of them. I mean, I've had, what we've done now, 2,000 odd shows. And to my mind, something like that and sharing with people, even though it's painful for yourself, in the end, it might be a bit of healing to know that you have helped other people going through the same sort of thing. And in your book, Braving the Way, I'm sure that's what people who've read it have found.
Absolutely. And the feedback has been more than I could have ever imagined. I mean, truthfully, and I say that being very humbled, because I didn't realize the impact it's having or will have on people. Because we all have stuff, right?
Yeah.
We all have things. We all have trauma eventually in our life.
Yeah.
Except for those lucky few who are charmed with life. But still, I think they have stuff, right?
Oh, yeah.
So
everybody has in one way or the other. I mean, no matter how, in quotes, doing air quotes, how perfect the family and the children are. And, there are times that everybody has a trauma. Everybody has a trial. Everybody has stress, whether it be at school, be it, with relationships and stuff like that. And the fact that you have been able to share your deepest insights and memories and what happened, I am sure, and I have this often, I am sure that you have been able to help people.
Yes, thank you. I do really open up. There are some things that have been difficult for some readers to read, which I totally understand.
Right.
But it really brings up emotion. And believe it or not, that's how we heal as humans.
Exactly.
It's been amazing. Yeah.
I mean,
really amazing.
You keep it. I've come, obviously, in these shows, I've had a lot of people with religious sexual things and stuff like that, the kids, deaths and illnesses and stuff like that. And every time, I would say that 95, if not more, percent of the people who have wrote this have found it therapeutic, have found that other people have contacted them, and people think I'm alone. Nobody else has gone through this.
Yes.
Nobody else can. And then they read something like your book, and suddenly they realize they are not alone. And that's why it makes such a big difference and a big thing writing such a book.
Yeah, you're so right, Barry. And it really has hit with me, just knowing that I've made a safe place for people that have trauma in their lives, with their children especially. It's really resonating with those people to come and talk to me. to admit it's difficult, to admit some days they want to give up.
Yep.
You know, to it's all sorts of things that come up. So it brings a safe place in the world, for sure.
Indeed. And the whole, as you said, with the first words there, come and talk to me. You're not alone.
Mm-hmm.
I've been through it. I understand. I'm not going to judge you. That's a lot of people are worried about being, like, sexual abuse. You know, I get a lot of women come on the show. They've been abused, you know. People are going to judge me because I left my husband and, it is, and my parents, my mother went through this. No, there's no judgment. It's understanding.
Right.
And that's what we've got to do.
That's right. And that's another point in my book of this community I had and the support I didn't think I had. And, you know, there's always people and we need each other. Taylor, my daughter, who was hit by the car, has shown that more than anyone. You know, she's the brightest light in the room and she knows that she needs people. Right? We need each other.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, obviously in your voiceover stuff and stuff like that. I mean,
yes.
I blame you for Sweet Caroline because every karaoke session somebody's going to sing that. And when my wife's a Yankee fan, and every time people sing Sweet Caroline, she gets upset.
That's funny. I have to be a Red Sox fan for that reason.
Exactly. It's like I'm a Rangers fan and my wife's family are Bruins fans. You know, there's always this gonna be, isn't there? But the fact that you can do this and you can go through this and come out the other side is the big thing. You know, you've managed through, you know, I mean, had you written before? Is this the first sort of thing you've actually tried and write to share with people?
Yeah, I mean, I thought what you were getting at is I worked for Neil Diamond for 15 years.
Yes, I saw that.
Inspiration. He's been an inspiration to me my entire life. I met him when I was 16, and I kind of started writing songs and poetry, and that's sort of what I did. But no one's ever seen them. And no one's ever seen them, right? So it started with a press release I needed to do for reporters outside the hospital. I was in the corner of a dark ICU room listening to her breathing machines, and all of a sudden I felt this comfort that was so weird.
Really?
And I dug in and I wrote this beautiful couple paragraphs, and then I started an online journal, and I just found this amazing comfort in it because then I could reach out to people, and that's really what it became. And turns out people thought I was a great writer.
What?
Like, I didn't know that.
Communicator. And, that's what we want to be. Communicators.
Yes. And my book is very conversational. It is literally like you're sitting next to me and I'm telling you the story, and that's exactly what I wanted because I love being with people.
You say about Neil Diamond. 1978, I had a motorbike accident. Mm-hmm. At the time, I was working in near Oxford Street in London for part of the distiller's company, and I had a motorbike accident. Now, Oxford Street is near Palladium Theatre and lots of other bits and stuff like that. So I ended up 6-7 weeks in hospital. I broke my tib, fib and stuff like that. So they had to, it was a new company that distillers had just set up, and as a central place for all of like Johnny Walker and Haig and Gordon's and Tanqueray, a central place for order invoicing. And they had to bring somebody down from Scotland, from Edinburgh, to cover me because I was in hospital, obviously. So this person came down and he understood that I'd had this accident and, you know, the company was just starting up and I wouldn't be around for a while. He gets a phone call one day and this person says, can I speak to Barry? And he says, he's had an accident and, he's in hospital and stuff like that. This person said, oh my goodness, they said, how bad is he? And he sort of went on and he said, they said, well, I'm in charge of his fan club. And he knew I'd sung and stuff like that. Anyway, the long and the short of it was, Barry Manilow was due to be at the Palladium, and they dialed the number which ended up at the workplace. So the person who was in charge of the Barry Manilow fan club thought that he'd had an accident.
Oh no!
He was in hospital, and the next day it was on. Barry's had a bike accident. Don't know why I was on a bike.
No.
So,
oh
yes.
My God.
So I've had a little bit, not Neil Diamond, but Barry Manilow. So yes.
His biggest rival in the 1770s.
Exactly. That's what brought it to my attention. Yes. when you had this initial phone call, and I think I know when I had the phone call, and that it doesn't sink in, does it?
No, it doesn't. And yeah. As a parent, it's that call you never think you're going to get, right? And it's a phone call you never want any parent to get, for that matter. We hear about it in the news, or we hear about it. And so when it's actually happening, I remember feeling like my body was sinking into the ground like quicksand.
Yes.
That's what I felt.
Yes, yes. You don't know
couldn't
what to
run,
do.
You
literally, quicksand is a great metaphor for it, yes.
Yes. The feeling of, I don't know this, and it's my child, right? Yeah.
And what am I
knew
do?
It was bad from the tone of the voice.
What am
on
I going to do?
Line.
How can I cope? What next?
Yeah.
I mean, you don't know. They don't prepare you for stuff like that, do you?
That's right. No, and there was no playbook. And, you know,
yes.
We got the doctor, Dr. McDermott, who writes my foreword in the book. He is a big advocate for this book as a playbook for people who are sitting on that.
Good.
How the hell do I do this?
Yeah.
How do I cope? So, yeah, it's. I hope that people will reach out to it for sure.
What about, I mean, obviously, retelling this, traumatic, all your life was touched and stuff like that. How, I don't think you know, finding the strength is a big thing. You don't know
it
how,
is,
you
and
don't
I
know
do
how
know.
Strong you are till it hits you.
Correct. And so what I do talk about a lot, Barry, is I'm a planner and I'm a very organized person. I was a personal assistant.
Yep.
I keep track of things. Everything's right. The day I got it all right. And this happens literally, boom, like a bomb set off.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't know how to do it. And so what I had to learn, this worked for me. This was my powers that I had to discover, were leaning in and letting things kind of take over and choosing my purpose in it instead of wondering what the outcome was going to be.
Okay.
And I talk about that a lot.
Right.
We don't know how things are going to end up. But the only thing you can control is who.
Exactly.
Right?
Yes.
That's you.
Yes. Yep.
Yeah. And so I really meditated and I punched people in boxing classes and I hit tennis balls and I just did everything I had to for myself in order to be able to lean in and really be present for my daughter. That's all that was important.
That's great. And the fact that you've been able to pass that on, because people don't know. Yeah. Do they shout at
right,
God?
And also
do you
really
shout
hard.
At God? Do you blame themselves or what have you?
Yes. I mean, what's easier is to drink or take the Xanax
that I had in my purse. Yeah.
But I didn't like the way that made me feel, and I don't mean to be disrespectful to anyone, but I couldn't do it like that. And so I had to find other outlets.
Exactly.
And I had to really learn how to let life happen. And I think so many of us need to do that. You know, we don't control what happens in our lives.
Yeah,
we really don't.
I mean, people think they do, but you can't. There's no way you can.
Right.
I mean, you can do the facade. I pretend to be this, that, and the other. But when it comes down to it, you're lost. I mean, you're lost.
That's
you're
right.
Lost.
And the magic happened for me when I accepted. I
leaned
in and I really, truly accepted and surrendered, right?
Yep.
Which is so much of it when you go through a trauma. It's very hard.
And how's Taylor these days?
So Taylor is the best part of this story, being the miracle in the end, because she's wonderful and she's happy and she wakes up every day and she tackles life. And maybe that's because she was close to dying. I don't know. But that's her gift to share with the world. She's just joyful. you know, right. And it's so beautiful to see. She still has issues because brain injury is
exactly.
a tough
yep.
go.
Yep.
But we will learn how to do that, you know, and get through it.
Yeah, I mean, my son's autistic. My grandson, mm-hmm. my grandson's autistic, and just. I was watching his mother sent me a video yesterday, and just watching him, he's four, just watching him mm-hmm. shake his head yes and then shake his head yes when she asked him to do. I can't tell you how that made me feel. I mean, it's just he said a word
Beautiful.
The other day. He said orange juice the other day of all things, and
wow,
I broke into tears. I mean, I don't mind telling
you.
Of course
you did.
You don't, unless you've been through it like yourself, you just don't understand.
Right. You don't understand, and we don't know what he will be like when he's 15, right, your grandson. And so
every day is a day that I didn't think I'd have him, in a way, you know. You've got to make the most of it. You know, what are some? Live your life from day to day, because tomorrow is the first day of the rest of your life. You know, that's what you can do. We can do.
We could do a whole other show on gratitude, but gratitude is a whole other. Yeah.
Time is beating us. It's been great chatting to you. It's one of these shows where you want to sort of talk on and on and on.
Yes.
Braving the Way is the name of your book. Wonderful, wonderful book. And I'm sure, as you've been saying, you're a great help to a lot of people. But what I'm going to do now is actually hand the show over to you so you can tell everybody where they can find out more about you and, of course, your book.
Yes, great. I have a website called bravingtheway.com. It's B-R-A-V-E-I-N-G. Braving is a little play on words. But my book is available on Amazon. The Kindle version just dropped yesterday, so there's a paperback, hardcover, Kindle. Yeah, Barnes & Noble, or you can just go to my website. But it's really, I'm not in bookstores because I self-published because it is such a personal story.
Oh, yes, exactly.
But Amazon and Barnes & Noble, you'll find it. Oh. Yeah.
Well, Laurel, thank you so much, for being a guest on the show today. It's something, you know, your book and how you've managed it and everything is something that I, you know, obviously touched my life in a similar sort of way.
Yeah.
So I found it so much of a pleasure chatting to you. Good luck with the book. And, you know, it's been a pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you, Barry. For me as well. Please know that. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Well, there you go. My guest today, Laurel C. Fox. And her new book, Braving the Way, an intimate piece of notification that tells the story of a daughter's traumatic brain injury, who was hit by a car at the age of 14, forever altering the course of her life, and I'm sure her mother's life, and sure Laurel's life. Really enjoyed it. Anyway, that's it for now. I'll be here on Sunday, 5 to 6 with Those Are the Days, music from the 20th century. And I can tell you the theme this week is blue. So think about songs from the 20th century with blue in the name. And then straight after that, from 6 to 7, the swinging 60s. And then next Tuesday and Wednesday, we'll be back with a couple of fresh guests. However, until then, I have one thing left to say. Don't forget.
Cobwebs and stop yawning. A little cup and sorcery is magic in the morning. In the afternoon, or in the evening too. Cheese up, up, pour yourself a cup. Tickety boo. Isn't that nice? All a cup of tea that makes you feel good twice. One love for two. Jiggity boo. Put the kettle on.
Hello.